So this is what Amos say to Israel today. In the chapter 5, the people of Israel who was longing for the day of the Lord to be fulfilled. So in the context, the Assyrians were stronger and stronger. The people of Israel were drafting from the Lord, and they were worried to see all of this enemy around them. Even the rich people, you know, the rich people left Israel and Judah to go in Samaria, build like big palaces, big houses, thinking they can escape from the hand of the Assyrian. So here the day of the Lord is referring to two things. The first is a judgment from God on earth against the enemy of Israel. So, for example, when the Israelites were attacked in the past against the Philistines, Amalekites, the Madianites, and the enemy has domination against Israel, after there were a judgment of God to deliver Israel. So this is one of the meaning of the day of the Lord. The other meaning, it will be the day when the God judgment will come on earth to eat all of the nations. All of the nations, they have refused to submit and believe in God of Israel, in Jesus. So, and this day will be a day of salvation for the faithful believer. So it will be in the last days. Okay? So, it was in both cases a day or a period of time where God, when God's wrath is poured out on earth or against the enemy of Israel. And this day or this period of time is a period without compassion or without mercy. God had mercy, 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 and at time, poof, the judgment came. No compassion, no mercy. That's what we read in the verse 19-20 of the chapter. It will be as though a man fled from a lion only to meet a bear, as though he entered his house and rested his hand on the wall only to have a snake bite him. Will not the day of the Lord will be darkness, not light, pitch dark, without a ray of brightness. It's like a succession of bad luck. But the truth is, it's not bad luck. It's the wrath of God. There is no way to escape. Even if you want to try it, it's not possible. Another hint about that day or that period of time, it says in Zephaniah, in French it's Sophonie. It says from the chapter 1, verse 15-18, from that day will be a day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of trouble and ruin, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness, a day of trumpets and battle cry against the fortified city and against the corner towers. I will bring such a distress on all the people that they will grope about like those who are blind, because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood will be poured out like dust and their entrail like dung. Neither their silver nor their gold will be able to save them on the day of the Lord's wrath. In the fire of his jealousy, the whole earth will be consumed, for he will make a sudden end of all who live on the earth. So this is really the wrath of God. It's just like a little insight we can see of this really day of darkness, if I can say like that. And Israel was longing for that day. Israel was longing for deliverance, prosperity, victory over all their enemy, full restoration, as we see in Isaiah 11, you know, the wolf will be with the lamb and no harm in the earth. There will be knowledge of the Lord everywhere. And God will answer to them who expect that day to come quickly. In the verse 18, he will say, "Woe to you who long for the day of the Lord." Woe to you. This is a really strange answer. Woe to you. Which can be also said by curse to you. Woe, it's a way in English to say a curse. And this comes from the mouth of the prophets under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So it's come directly from God. We know that when God bless someone, this person is blessed. And when God curse someone, this person is cursed. We have many examples in the Bible. Abraham was blessed. He was blessed. And many nations are blessed in Abraham. And we have also other examples of curse. When Jesus say, "Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Pharisees. Woe to you, Sadducees." In Matthew 11 and 23, if you want to read it. So God answers them, "Woe to you." But the question is, it is really wrong to desire that God's righteousness come to earth, God's justice? We are also not us as a church longing for that day, the day that Jesus will come and will be taken in heaven and all will be finished, the evil will stop. Do you long for that day also? I know the answer. We all long for Jesus to come as quickly as possible. But in that case, God say woe to them. He say woe to them because if the day of the Lord had came at their time, there will be also judge with the nation around them. Because at that time, there were no differences between Israel and the nation. We see that through Amos, Israel had fallen into a great rebellion. They worshipped the same God as the Assyrian, as the Amalekite, as the all the nations there were around them. In every high mountain, they built altars. In every green tree, they built altars for Baal, for Astarte, for many gods. When you came in Israel, you see the big temple of the God of Israel, and every mountain you see and every tree you have a different God. It's like the Greece, you know, it's the same. So they worshipped idols and practiced the same abomination than the other nation. In the verse 26, and this verse is really interesting, we will read different traduction of it. He say, "You have lifted up the shrine of your king, the pedestal of your idols, the star of your God, which you made for yourself." So this is NIV. And now, New King James will say, "You also carried Sikut, your king, and Shun, your idols, the star of your gods, which you made for yourself." Ha! We have two names. Sikut, if you translate literally the word Sikut, it means tabernacle. It's a good translation. But also, it refers to a Canaanite god. A Canaanite god who was worshipped with sexual immorality. And Shun here, it means literally pedestal, but it's referred also to the Saturn god, the god of divination, the god where you have like the esoteric stuff to watch to the stars and make a pronostic. So here we have two idols who are named. And if we see the old King James, it's another again different translation. "But he have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch and shewn your images, the star of your God, which ye made to yourself." And again, Moloch literally said king, but you know also it's the name of the idol where they made the child sacrifice. So it's not very important that they translate it in three different ways, because it's carried the same message. But this, I like it, because it shows something spiritual which is deep. Sikut, your king. That means that God of Israel was no longer the king in the heart of the Israelite. It was the Sikut, the whole God from Canaan, which God delivered, destroyed Canaan, and Israel can just take their place. And when Israel was in place, they take the God of Canaan. The tabernacle of Moloch shows that there is no longer deep relationship with God, with the tabernacle of God, but the relationship was with Moloch, the tabernacle of your Moloch. They get attached and bound with the other God, no more the God of Israel. And when we continue to read the book of Amos, God made other reproach. And I encourage you to really read it at home. This book is really good. So we read in other chapters that violence and robbery had become a common place, a common ways to get richer. So in Israel, it was common to find violence and robbery, which was not ordained by God, but it was ordained by another God, which can be named by greed, cupidity. We read also that the rich oppressed the poor, and this was not also ordained by the God of Israel. If you look at the law, it was not what God asked for the poor. But another God gives this instruction, the God of self, the God who said, it's me first. That's why the rich oppress the poor, and when they see that the situation in Israel was not so good, they came in the mountain and built big houses to protect themselves, to be sure that nothing happened. So it's another God. So we read that it's not come from God of Israel to see the rich having this kind of behavior, because God in the Bible gave responsibility to the rich people. We see that, you know, in Luke 3:11, when John the Baptist said, hey, if you have two clothes and your brother don't have any, give one to him. And same for the food. If you have enough food, share with your brother. They refuse to listen to the voice of God through the prophets and the righteous men. God say, listen to me. But them, they listen to pride. Hey, I do whatever I want. You don't have to say me anything. It say in the verse 10, in the chapter 5 of Amos, they hate the one who rebuke in the gate, and they abhor the one who speak uprightly. Abhor and hate, it's the same word, almost the same word. Even the high priest refused to listen to Amos. Even the king refused to listen to Amos, who was like the voice of God. So all was perverted, from the little one to the kings. And strangely, while they are worshipping idols and obeying the other idols, they continued to go to the temple, to go to the synagogue, and to worship God. To give like a fake worship of God. They continue to pray to God of Israel, please Lord, we need deliverance. Please Lord, bring the day of the Lord, we have enemy. We are the people of God. Huh? So, they continue to sacrifice. And the reaction of God to this hypocrisy, to this fake cult, will be found in the verse 21-23. I hate, I despise your religious festivals. Your assembly are strange to me. Even though you bring me burnt offering and grain offering, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offering, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. It's a strong reaction to the Lord. Faced to this worship from Israel, which seemingly was perfect, God say, "Well, no, I don't take any pleasure to this kind of worship." He didn't accept the sacrifice, even the big one, the small one and the big one. He didn't accept it. He don't listen and take pleasure in the praise anymore. And God was at the same rank of the other God, the tradition. Isaiah 29, verse 13 will say, "These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their hearts are far from me." So they abandoned their consecration. They sold what God gave to them. You know, it's like Esau. Esau sold his NS right, and they did the same to worship idols. And now, because of that, destruction was now underway against Israel. In the verse 27, we read, "Therefore, I will send you into exile beyond Damascus, say the Lord, whose name is God Almighty." So we see that idolatry and hypocrisy bring fall and judgment to Israel. Because what's happened here, this prophecy of the exile beyond Damascus, it happened only 30 years after this prophecy. Only 30 years. So Assyria attacked, and after it was Babylon. So why are we interested by this story? Why it's so important to learn from Amos, the whole prophet in minus 700 years before Christ? It's because all was written for instruction for us who have made the last, who are in the last day. All was written for instruction. So as a Christian, we have something to learn, very important from it. 2 Timothy 3:16 say, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." So we have to learn from this story. And the second reason is God doesn't change. He is the same in the past, the same today, and it will be the same in the future. And that whatever, how many years before the comeback of Jesus, it will be the same tomorrow. So if the divided heart of Israel displeased to the Lord, and they were rejected after multiple warning, it can also happen to the disciple. The Bible says still today that no idolaters will inherit the kingdom of God. No idolater. And I will show you now. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 to 10. It says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetous." Covetous is envy, greed, drunkards, revilers, so those who destroy with the mouth, extortioners, will inherit the kingdom of God. So here we understand that no idolaters will go through the door of the kingdom. And this is really important for us, because what we read from the king is more and more here in Europe. And I'm sure if I ask some brother from Africa, from Asia, they will say to me the same. It's coming in our generation. So we know, we often talk about idols. We know that it's the things that are taking the God's place in our heart. It's the thing in which you are putting your trust. The things you adore, you love more than God. There is things you can love more than God. It's the things who are making God switch in the back seat. And most important of it, and that's how you can recognize that it is an idol, it's the things what turn you away from God's law and will. Without Moloch, no child sacrifice. But because they worshipped Moloch, they dive in more and more and more, and they sacrifice children. Because of Sikut, they went more in sexual abomination. I don't say there will be not maybe without this God, but way less abomination. So it's really important to talk about this topic. Talk, 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 and talk. Because we see that in the situation in Amos, when he made the reproach, they were the shrine, they were like the altar with the God, but also in their heart, it was full of other gods. So God doesn't expect us to be perfect. And this point is important. He doesn't expect us to be without sin. It's impossible here. It will be possible later when we will be in heaven. But now it's not possible. It says in 1 John 1 verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So, even if we are righteous, to be perfect is not possible. But we deceive ourselves also if we worship God beside our other gods. Amen. If you have other idols in your heart, you are deceiving yourself if you say, I worship God, I am with God. So this is the greatest danger, a false consecration, a half-hearted consecration. So, in a nutshell, the refusal to surrender everything to the Lord. Those who are not surrendering everything at the feet of the Lord will never be admitted in the kingdom. It's not something you cannot deal with that. You cannot be half-hearted or one foot in the world and one foot with God. It's not possible. You have this example of the rich young man. God just asked him just one thing. Because this man was probably a good man. Maybe he was righteous, maybe not. But he said, hey, just give all of your wealth and follow me. Because his heart was on the wealth. Jesus asked just the one important question. He said, I will show you where is your heart. Sell everything, give to the poor, and follow me. But the heart was on the money. Also Judas. Judas followed the Lord. He was really close. He came and he preached. But his heart was not bound to the Lord. He had something else in the heart. And this was the greed. And this greed was probably emphasized when he thought that Jesus will become a king. He said, oh, all the people want to make Jesus the king. I will be like a servant of the king, one of the most important. I will have money and things. But he saw that Jesus will not be the king. And Jesus started to say, hey, but you know, I will go die and you will not see me anymore. And Judas said, hey, it's not going according to my plan now. He served God for his own interest. He hid all of his greed, all of his own interest. He hid it because the other disciple didn't see anything. And at the end, he was the one who betrayed Jesus. So it's very dangerous. The idol must be abandoned, destroyed, utterly killed, not just hide. And this point is very important because we see that too much. People who hide things deeply in their heart, and they hide it so much that they forget about it. They think, okay, maybe I don't have this problem anymore. But one day it's come back. One day it's come back and everything is worse, like Judah experienced it. So, the most common idol who are hide in the heart is serving God for our own interest. This is very dangerous. This is very dangerous. Because those people will not finish the race. So this need to be killed. The other thing is pornography. We think pornography is just like sexual things, but no, it's an idol. For those who went into pornography, they know that what they practice at the time of Canaan, the immoral sexuality we read in the Bible about the incestuous things, about all of this impure sexuality, we find it in pornography. And when you start to taste it, it's over your mind. All of the day, you think about it. And if there is a crisis in your life, you want to go and see it. So this is an idolatry. So it's dangerous to refuse to listen to the warnings. And that's what they did at the chapter 5 of Amos. They refused to listen. God was saying, hey, repent. I warn you, repent. The judgment is coming. Those who refuse knowingly will receive the same consequences of Amos. God will not take any pleasure in their praise. They will come, they will praise, but it just will be music. Even if you said, oh Lord, I love you, I will do everything for you. If your heart are divided, God knows it, and it's not a true praise. You are not praising in truth, you are not worshiping in truth. Their service and sacrifice will displease to the Lord. They can give thousands of money in the basket, but because their heart is divided, it's not a true sacrifice. It's not something the Lord is pleasing. He will close his ears to their prayer. You will pray and nothing will happen. You will pray and God will say, pfft. They will not receive any special revelation from the Lord. God will not talk to the divided heart. The only thing God will say to a heart which is divided with the idol, he will say, repent, you have idols. Repent, you have idols. Repent, you have idols. It's the only things the divided heart will hear. And he will severely rebuke the people who are divided. And this, it can be difficult to hear, but it's the love from the Lord. It's because he don't want you to perish. Revelation 3:19 says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous, and repent. Your election does not exclude punishment on earth. It's for our good. God punishes sometimes his disciples, but it's not because he don't like us. It's to build our salvation. When he punishes, we should not harden our heart. Because if he punishes, it's because before he warned us and we didn't listen. He warned, and we played if, and punishment are coming. Because it's the only way to shake us a little bit and turn our ears to God. So, if the Lord rebuke you, don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart as Judah did. Don't harden your heart as the young man, rich man did. Because the testimony of such a person is, he almost gave me his heart. That was God will testify of a people like that. He almost gave me his heart. He or she was very close to salvation, but he didn't give me a full-hearted consecration. So we must surrender everything to God. This is the most important. The most important is not to come in here every Sunday. The most important is not to read the Bible in the academic way and have a lot of knowledge. There will be people who are not saved, who know well the Bible, but they know it in the academic way. They didn't really apply it in their life. So what is important is to have a full devoted heart to God alone and not to the other. My brother shared it just before. Romans 12:1. He say Romans 1:2, 1:2. It's the code. Very important. Therefore, I urge you, brother and sister, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. This last couple of words are the most important. This is your true and proper worship. If you want really to come here and worship the Lord, you must go through this verse first and apply it in your life. To offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This living sacrifice is abandoning the old man and his practice at the cross of Jesus. You let Jesus take this old man and put it at the cross, and all of the idols who was this old man, you take it and you put it at the cross of Jesus, and you leave. You leave. You don't let these idols coming back in your life. And all you have, all you want, you surrender to God. So it say a living sacrifice, and this sacrifice must be holy. We are not devoting ourselves to God to be unrighteous, because the identity of God is righteousness. So we are walking in holiness because God is righteous. It's a righteous sacrifice, a holy, it's something which is pure. We have to let go what is impure in our life. And it say it's a pleasing sacrifice, which means abandoning our will. We want a lot of things. We have our will focused on a lot of things. But first is the plan of God. We can do a lot of things in this world. The possibilities are almost unlimited. There is people who try to send again people on the moon. So there is many possibilities in this world. But what is important is, okay, if I am walking in the plan of God, if really my will is surrendered to the Lord. Sometimes we can make like holy choice, you know? We can make choice which are pure and not bad, but it's not the will of God. And if it's not the will of God, it's a good choice, but it's not the perfect choice. In the good choice, there will be imperfection and difficulty. But in the will of God, you are sure to walk in the good direction. Jesus shows the example of surrendering everything to God. In Luke 22, verse 42, it says, Father, it is your will. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done. Try that in your personal life every day. When you wake up, you sit on the bed and you say, Lord, whatever happened today, that your will be done and not mine. Lead me according your will and not mine. And God will work and send his direction here. So this is your true and proper worship. The old man and his will and his idols must be killed. If he is not killed, he will kill you. He will come back and kill you. If you want to have like a true consecrated heart, you have to do this sacrifice. And you know, this sacrifice come with a great blessing. God say, and if I remember good, it's in Ezekiel 11. I will take my Bible and we will see it. God will pour out His Spirit on His people. But first, He had to make this sacrifice. Let's read it. It's in Ezekiel 11. Ezekiel 11. From the verse 17. It was God who was talking to Israel. Therefore, they say, thus say the Lord God, I will gather you from the people, assemble you from the country where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And they will go there, and they will take away all its detestable, abominable, if you prefer, things, and all its abomination here, all the idols. And then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart out of their flesh, and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statute and keep my judgment and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for those whose hearts followed the desire for their detestable things, idols, and their abomination, I will recompense them their deeds on their own heads, say the Lord God. So God, when someone makes this sacrifice, put a new heart on the people and poured out His Spirit on them. Amen. So, if today you feel in your Christian life it's not very clear, you still have difficulty, idol, or the Holy Spirit pointed out something, He shows you, hey, here you are not right. Here, this is this idol in your heart. I would like to give you some hope with a verse I wish you to learn by heart, because it's so important. It's 2 Chronicles 7:14 and 15. 2 Chronicles 7:14 and 15. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to their prayer offered in this place. Hallelujah. You can come to the Lord. Even if you are not right today, it's better be today, better now than too late. You come with humility and prayer and you say, Lord, you are right. My heart was not in the good place. I have this root in my heart, which lead to this sin. I have this idol in my life. But I want to destroy them. Seek the face of the Lord. How I seek the face of the Lord? It's really simple. I take my Bible. I open it. Whatever the page, it's not really important. And I say, Lord, I know you can talk to me today. Talk to me. What is the state of my heart? And you will open it and He will show you. That's the power of the Holy Spirit with the Bible. And after that, when He pointed out something, turn away from it. And the promises from the verse we read, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive you your sin, and I will heal their land. And I will be attentive to your prayer. Hallelujah. So, let's pray together. This is really important to be consecrated. That's what we receive at the beginning of the year with my wife. It's to be consecrated, to remove the idol, to work with the Holy Spirit to remove idols. You know, you have deep roots sometimes in the heart and you don't really know what is the problem. But when the situation sometimes happens, the difficulties, it's come out. And all of the venom go out from the heart and you understand that, okay, I have this problem. I need to fix it. But we don't fix problem with our own strength. We sang just before, the battle belongs to the Lord. You have to do it with the Lord. You come in prayer and say, hey Lord, I have this idol. It's so deep in my heart. Destroy it. I want to destroy it. And because you have made this little leap of faith, God will make a bigger one. And he will destroy this idol. Okay, let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your faithfulness. Thank you because you are a good father and we love you so much. And we really want to have a true praise to you, a true worship. We don't want to come here and draw near to you with our lips, but far with the heart. It's not the point. We want to come here with a true heart, a pure heart, which is fully honest with you. We don't want to have hypocrisy in our heart. So please, Lord, our prayer today is, show us the idol we have in our heart. Show us what we have hide in our heart so deeply that even today we don't remember. We didn't remember how heavy we hide in our heart to just be in your presence and come and that the people cannot see it. Show us what our own righteousness hide in our heart and purify our heart. Thank you for Ishvan who shares this verse just before. Create in us a pure heart, a new heart, a heart who please you, Lord. We pray to you all of that in the name of Jesus. Amen.